Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
You ready?
Welcome to duty, Commander.
Let's go!
No, no! Enemy forces spotted. Follow me, men. Watch out, grenade! Man down, man down! All right, you're good to go.
Thanks, much appreciated.
All clear. Mission under control. Out.
We've regained control. Good work, men.
You've been recommended for promotion. Promotion.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind, mind. A journey into the wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead.
Welcome to American by Design. I know you can hear me now because I had the freaking mute button on, okay? I'm the idiot. I've had people over here all day long, and I'm, you know, trying to get over it. But welcome to American by Design on Conservative Nation Media. And you can actually catch me over on everything but Twitter and Facebook. I'm not on there at all anymore. You can catch me at, actually, let me just pull that up. I'm sorry. But you can catch me over on MeWe. I don't know why it's stupid Blog Talk Radio keeps asking me, do you want to start your episode next? And I'm like, I already started it. But anyways, bitemeinthebasement.com, MeWe. .com/I/BingFisher, MeWe.com/American by Design. And also, I signed up for an account today that I'm kind of interested in checking out. And that is locals.com. And it's, you know, I'm joining people like Greg Gutfeld and Dana Perino and Tulsi Gabbard and so on. So I'm going to start putting up video content, right? And what it's going to do is I'm going to charge a little bit for this and that, but it's not going to be exuberant. Like some of these people, they can get like speaker fees of $200, you know, for a show. I'm like, I'm low on the food chain, okay? So I know I can't do that. But happy Father's Day. And what we're going to do is I'm going to try to see, once they approve my account, you got to link it to bank and this and that. And it gets a little weird. But anyways, I'm really interested in this new non-corporate media. You know, there's a lot of them springing up. So I want to try as much as I can to get content out to you guys. The first thing I wanted to do is say Happy Father's Day. My father is no longer alive, and I just wanted to tell you a little backstory on that and then play something for you. The day before my father had a stroke, a massive stroke, right, And the last 2 weeks have been really bad for me. My dog, I had put my dog down, a Shetland sheepdog, Sheltie, little Duchess. And you can see her on the pictures on the front here. And we had her for over 8 years, and she was 11 and a half years old and basically died of bladder cancer. Had a major tumor removed, and they did a good job at the Sparta Road Veterinary Clinic. And she just, once they, you know, start cutting tumors out, it just, cancer just takes you over. But we had to put her down, and it was just, we're still, you know, trying to get over all this. But when my father had a stroke, he came out of the hospital from an operation. And he was at home, and I went to visit him. I only lived like a block or two away from him, so I just walked down there and visited him. And he said, you know, he was talking to me and so on. I said, Dad, you know, I'm getting ready to leave. Is there anything you want? He said, yeah, can you get me some ice cream? So I went up there and I got some ice cream. My dad was never one to really say, I love you. You know, he was not that type of person. He was a strong father, but he was not that type of person to be emotional all the time. So I got him some ice cream. Went into his room and he ate it, and you know, I went up and cleaned all the dishes up and stuff and went back in there. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go back home. And he says, son, he said, I love you. And really hit home, because the next day I came home from work. That was on a Friday. And a Saturday morning I came home, and one of my brother's kids had found him, went to walk the dogs, and found him in the bathroom, pretty much stroked out, you know. So, you know, 2 weeks later, going to work, going to the hospital, going to work, going to the hospital, my dad didn't want to live that kind of life because he had no functions other than brain stem functions. So we let him die. The same thing with my dog, Duchess, you know. And so if you've got a father, you know, call him. Tell him you love him. You know, if you got a son, call him. Tell him you love him. Because time's short, people. And we don't get a lot of time on this earth. And sometimes some of us are so hard-baked in things that we don't emotionalize ourselves. We don't speak what we really want to say because we're afraid to. Or we're afraid how somebody else is going to handle it. But substitute, and during his eulogy, I spoke because I was the executor of the estate and so on. So I spoke during his eulogy, and I coined my speech based off a speech made by Paul Harvey many, many years ago. And it's, I just substituted farmer for father. And when you listen to this, and if you don't know who Paul Harvey is and you're a millennial or you're young, he was one of the greatest voices. Just a great voice. I mean, when you're in this type of business and you're talking, maybe for a living or not for a living, for a hobby, you've got to have a great voice and great content. That's what makes you stand out. And Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, he was always there. Always there. That's who I grew up with. So listen to this and substitute father for farmer. It'll make sense.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. I need somebody with arms strong enough to wrestle a calf and yet gentle enough to deliver his own grandchild. Somebody to call hogs, tame cantankerous machinery, come home hungry, have to wait lunch until his wife's done feeding visiting ladies, then tell the ladies to be sure and come back real soon and mean it. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die and dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then pain in from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God had to have somebody willing to ride the ruts at double speed to get the hay in ahead of the rain clouds and yet stop in midfield and race to help when he sees the first smoke from a neighbor's place. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners, somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk, and replenish the self-feeder, and finish a hard week's work with a five-mile drive to church. Somebody who'd bail a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
So God made a farmer. God made a father. I hope that got out. I don't even know. Blog Talk here has been acting really goofy lately, so I don't know what's going on with it. But, yeah, that's my Father's Day message to y'all. It's a long life that we live in some cases not. I had another friend pass away last week due to cancer. Smoked a lot, you know. Didn't take care of himself very good. And, you know, it happens. It happens to everybody. It's going to happen to every one of us. We got people in the know that, and I want to go back and reiterate because I was, I had my microphone muted. I mean, that's like a noob mistake. That's like something a newbie would do. But I did have it muted because I had some, I still got kids running around. I got family that came over to celebrate Father's Day with three of us fathers. And it was just a good time, you know, and it's a good time to say to people, I love you. It's a good time to say, you know, I appreciate what you do, you know. It's a good time to, you know, kiss your kids because you never know when you walk out the door anymore if you're going to see them again. It's a, you know, it's a basic emotion of loving someone. And you need to share it. You need to. To move on, I wanted to get to reiterate or go back. Brian Futch. BrianFutch.com opens my show and closes my show with his great talent and great musical voice. So I just want to tell y'all to go on over there and download some of his music, you know, get some of his music. I mean, it's very good stuff, you know, from a local artist here in Tennessee, which is where I am, in the Highland Rims of Tennessee, which if you don't know where the Highland Rims are, it's Cumberland Plateau. I'm pretty much in kind of like a valley with mountains all around. It's beautiful. Blog Talk keeps saying start your show, your scheduled episode. It should have started 1 minute ago. Remind me. So I don't know, Robert, if that helps you out. But, yeah, they changed the format and some of the stuff on here, it seems. So I don't know. I don't really like it that much, but I guess we'll have to deal with it. But, yeah, go check out Brian Futch. I wanted to talk a little bit about critical race theory, because critical race theory is not really a theory. I mean, it's junk. It's basically junk. It's made up by Marxists. It's made up by these leftists that just hate everything. They want to tear down the country. They want to tear us down because they're miserable. If you ever talk to a liberal that was happy, that was running around going, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy to be a liberal, progressive, whatever, Democrat. No. On the contrary, they're sitting there in their house and typing on a keyboard or doing whatever they do, and they're miserable. They're miserable people. They've called my radio show. They've emailed me with threats and all this kind of crap. Antifa, they're not anti-fascists. They are the fascists. Black Lives Matter are terrorists. They are problems that need to be solved in our communities. When I grew up, we watched different movies and shows and TV shows and so on that poked fun at each other. It was nothing wrong with that. But now the cancel culture crowd and all these people that want to dictate and rule to you, and I told you it's about power. It's all about power. How much control can they wield? How many people out there listening to my voice right now wore a mask during COVID? I didn't, unless I had to go to the doctor that demanded that I wear a mask. That's the only time I did. I did not wear a mask when I went to Walmart. I did not wear a mask when I went to any other store because I didn't believe them. I didn't believe the junk science coming out of Fauci. I didn't believe them. I didn't want to be controlled. I figured, well, I'll take my damn chances. In the meantime, now they want more masks. And you got Joe Biden up there, which he's a joke. He sold out our country when he went to have his meeting with Putin before that by the Nordstrom pipeline. He basically gave them that. But he canceled the pipeline in this country. The Excel. Thousands of workers out of work. Not just the people that were working on the pipeline, but people down the river, people down the stream that were selling them food, that were selling them, whatever, bedding, whatever they needed, clothing. They put them out of business. This country is inflated. We're going through an inflationary period that's unreal. We've got people coming across our borders, and these people, these Democrats, don't seem to care. We can't get Kamala Harris to go down to the frickin' border, right? This is Jesse Waters. I don't know if you listened to him, but Jesse Waters had a very good analogy to the border, right, with Kamala. And her going to El Salvador and Ecuador and Mexico trying to figure out why people are coming here. Why people are coming here is because you opened the fucking door, you stupid chick. You opened the door. But Jesse Waters' analogy was pretty spot on. He said, if I come home and my wife says, hey, we got bees in the house. Okay, so what am I going to do? I'm going to leave the door open. I'm going to go down to the neighbor's house down the road that owns beehives, and I'm going to ask them why the bees are coming in the house. In the meantime, the door is wide open. Then I go back to the house, and I tell my wife that, hey, I took care of it. I got to the root of the problem. What a great analogy. Got to the root of the problem by going, telling people that, hey, come on over. The water's fine. And then you go to the countries that you're telling these people to come over to. You don't do nothing with the border. You shut it down. At least you got Greg Abbott going in Texas going, well, we're gonna build a freaking wall anyways. Regardless of what these asshats think in Washington, we need the wall built. But these people are just, I don't know, they're over the top, and I just can't. I'm having a hard time dealing with them anymore. So that's why this video thing is really cool to me, because it's a different media, a different medium. I mean, and I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do on it. We'll see. But it'll be on locals.com, and I already set up American by Design over there. I'm just waiting for the account to get through and get started. But in the meantime, this is how much hatred is on the left. You don't hear this on the conservative side. Like I said, we grew up, we watched all sorts of stuff on TV, Archie Bunker and all that kind of stuff. You know, we didn't have a problem with race, really. There was a couple of years or during the 70s that, you know, there was some race riots at school and so on, but it wasn't as deep and penetrating as is right now. You got people that are so divisive, and that's what critical race theory is. It makes you as a white man the oppressor, and you as a black man the victim, which the Democrats play that card all the time, okay, because they keep people that are black on welfare. They just keep them perpetuated in this system of welfare, of government assistance, thinking that, okay, if the government provides for them, they'll never get off it. Never. And that's one problem with black America, because they need fatherhood. What we're celebrating today is fathers. Some of these families don't even know who their fathers are. Did you ever wonder when you go in the dollar store why there's Father's Day cards and there's five of them in a pack? I mean, I wonder who that's for. But listen to the hatred of the left.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right, to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. Even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look at this character. There is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that. on both levels. That this isn't—they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, Maxine Waters. Yep, Madonna. You know, the typical liberal elite that want to run your lives. They want to tell you what to do, but they don't practice the same. Same thing with Gavin Newsom out in California. Same thing with, you know, all these, you know, governors of blue states that don't want to practice what they preach. Oh, wear a mask. You can't go out. You can't start. You can't have a business running. No. No. It's against the law. It's unconstitutional. You know, I mean, they'll bring up anything. It's so funny because CNN's own Bill Maher just explodes. Nothing is ever good enough for leftists. This is why people hate Democrats. And he just went off. And I gotta say, I have respect for Bill Maher to a point, because he at least is saying what he thinks. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to roll it in bacon for me to eat it. I mean, everybody on the left, and CNN especially, is just totally breaking down. Remember when CNN said that Fox, when Fox started cable, their news channel on Fox, and then CNN is, oh, they're going to fail. They're going to fail. Why don't we take CNN and just say, look, okay, these people that talk about their reporters or journalists, they're neither. They're commentators. Let's label them as such, commentators, op-ed people. They're not journalists. They don't investigate the truth. Otherwise, we would know something more about Hunter Biden. Do you imagine the phone call between Hunter Biden and his dad today? Hey, Dad, I love you. I don't think he said that. Hey, Dad, how much money will we make today? It's probably what he said. But this is where we are. This is where we are as a society. The CNN, you know, just roasts Don Lemon and, you know, just they're eating their own because they have nobody else to eat. Trump is not there for fodder or food for them. So they have to do something. They have to do something drastic because the ratings are in the tank. They're all in the tank. CNN, MSNBC, they're all in the tank. And this stupid warning that keeps coming up, I don't know what this about, but anyway, this is Blog Talk Radio. I'm like, this behind-the-scenes stuff. I got kids here, and they're like, you know, they're screaming and crying and stuff like that. So anyways, but yet, CNN is going down under big time. I mean, they can't even release, they can't acknowledge some of the stupid stuff that they've said in the past. I mean, you got Stelzer on, and, you know, defund the police movement that they were all behind. I mean, it just fails. Twitter, Facebook, failing. They're both failing because nobody's on them anymore. Like I said, I ditched both of them. I'm trying to find a different medium. I do have my own website, bitemeinthebasement.com, that you can go to. You can say whatever you want to. Like I said, with locals, that might be a good thing, too. I'm going to check them out. You got Rumble that I'm a member of. I just don't really post because, you know, I don't do video. I do audio. It's theater of the mind, so, you know, more than theater of, you know, the face. But we're going to start doing video. And like like I said, we're going to have some behind-the-scenes stuff and that kind of thing. And I think it'll be pretty cool. I'm still trying to sort this out in my head, but I think it'll be pretty cool. And we'll do it. We'll do it. I've built websites for Rick Santorum here in Tennessee, Herman Cain. I was actually on the list to be a precinct member for Herman Cain before he got out of the race, which I don't think he should have ever dropped out. I don't think a conservative that's not guilty should ever, ever say, I'm sorry. It just shouldn't happen. But we'll be in good company with people like Liz Wheeler here.
7 in 10 millennials do not know this, so listen up. According to a new YouGov poll, 7 in 10 millennials say they would vote for a socialist. 1 in 3 millennials see communism as favorable, and half of millennials have an unfavorable view of capitalism. So tonight, I will show you what 7 in 10 millennials obviously do not know. The 5 reasons socialism will destroy your life. Number 1, 100 million people were killed in 7 in 10 millennials do not know this, so listen up. According to a new YouGov poll, 7 in 10 millennials say they would vote for a socialist. 1 in 3 millennials see communism as favorable, and half of millennials have an unfavorable view of capitalism. So tonight, I will show you what 7 in 10 millennials obviously...
Well, obviously that ain't working either. And I don't know if it just didn't load the whole track or what, but... Yeah, that's Liz Wheeler, and she's actually got some new topic, new content out. 6 questions to unpack the reality of CRT. Ask these at your local school board, and you can catch her over at on her blog. I think. Let me see if I can find it. Let me look for it. I'm thinking she's overdoing this on Locals is where I'm thinking she's at. And I don't know what's going on. It's like weird. It's like some of my videos are playing. They skip, you know, the audios. I mean, I'm sorry. But we'll try to unpack this. Let's see. General Dispatch is where she... actually had this on CRT, which is critical race theory, which really is theory, and it's not, it's Marxist. It's just downright Marxist. So let's play this and just see if I can skip the ads here real quick. We'll see. And see if it comes through. I'm kind of curious about this myself. It seems like my computer is running a little bit slow, but it sounds like a kid is getting murdered in the background. I apologize. Normally they go to bed very early, so. But, yeah. Here, let's see. This will pull up. But this is what to ask teachers. I don't know why this is doing this. And I apologize. Let's see. Because this was very important to me. I mean, when I looked at it earlier today, I mean, she's got some good points. And she's very bright. I mean, lawyer. I mean, you know, she's very intelligent. And so... I watched this today, and I'm going, wow, these are good bullet points for people that are having to, you know, succumb to the liberal left that wants to control our media, control our agenda, control everything. The 6 questions to unpack the reality.
I want to pose to you
of CRT
or share with you.
Hopefully this comes through.
Six questions to ask about critical race theory to your school board members, to teachers teaching this, to politicians, to pundits, to any adherent or defender of critical race theory, here are six questions to ask to really unpack the reality of what critical race theory is. Because what the left does right now is they're trying to deflect. They're trying to camouflage critical race theory. They're trying to misdirect you. They're trying to make you think it's something else, that it's just a perspective on history, an academic study, something that's taught in law schools, as McCullough said, a conspiracy theory. We know that's false. And these questions will expose the reality of what critical race theory is. So question number one, can you define critical race theory?
Yeah.
What is it?
Big question there.
This question in and of itself trips up adherence to critical race theory, because to define it, you have to either acknowledge that it's racist, or you have to acknowledge that it's Marxist, or your third option is that you're lying about what it is. So can you define critical race theory? What is it specifically?
Yeah,
question number two. These build on each other, by the way. Question number two, do you think it's racist to judge someone based solely on the color of their skin? Remember, that's what critical race theory does. It views everything and everybody through the prism of skin color first. So therefore, if it's racist to judge someone based solely on the color of their skin, which it is, isn't critical race theory racist? This is a critical question because it leaves leftists in a lose-lose. Either they're admitting they're racist or they're lying about critical race theory, and they don't want to admit either. Again, these questions build on each other. Question number three, who was the architect of critical theory? Critical theory being the grandfather of critical race theory. It goes critical theory, and then it evolved into critical legal studies, and then it evolved into critical race theory. Who was the architect of critical theory?
Bueller.
The answer to this is Max Horkheimer at the Frankfurt Institute in Germany in the 1930s. He was the second director of that school. He wrote the manifesto on critical theory. It then evolved further. It was taken a step further by Antonio Gramsci, who was the head of the Italian Communist Party. And then it was brought to the United States and evolved into critical race theory by Herbert Marcuse, who was Max Horkheimer's assistant, who Horkheimer left in the United States after Horkheimer and his cronies came here to escape the Nazis. They went back to Germany after the fall of the Nazi regime. Marcuse stayed here at Columbia University.
Bunch of damn commies.
So ask leftists, who was the architect of critical race theory, the grandfather of critical theory, and how did it come to the United States? If they don't know the answer to this, their choice is either they lie about it, or if they're ignorant, ask them, how can you talk about something when you know nothing about it?
Bingo.
Okay, number four. Again, each one builds on the last one. Question number four, what is the goal of critical theory and critical race theory? The ultimate goal. It's not equality under the law.
To control you.
It's not a new perspective on history. The goal of critical theory, as written by the authors, is Marxism. Marxism by way of tearing down the social institutions and beliefs adhered to, and I'm using the language of the founders here, adhered to by the so-called oppressed. Because the belief of the architects of critical theory believed that the workers did not stage a revolution against the elite because of the social institutions and the social beliefs that they adhered to. Those beliefs were an impediment to the revolution. So the goal of critical theory and critical race theory is Marxism by way of tearing down the institutions adhered to by the oppressed that prevent them from revolting. Okay. Number five, question number five. Can you describe the difference between equality and equity?
A big difference.
This is very important because you hear this all the time from social justice warriors calling for equity. The word in and of itself is very similar to equality.
Equity.
So it's easy to let that sleight of hand miss
equality.
Your consciousness. It's extremely important to define the difference. Define equality, define equity. The essence of equality versus equity is equality is equal opportunity. Equity is equal outcome. Equal outcome requires discrimination against someone. Someone has to be held back so that the result of everybody's activity and everybody's life is equal. So somebody is going to be the subject of discrimination based on an immutable characteristic. This is a very important distinction in these definitions because critical theory and critical race theory and the adherents of critical race theory constantly talk about equity versus equality. They want equity. They're done with equality. Make them define it. Finally, question number six. Do you believe America is fundamentally good or evil? They won't be able to answer this question. Because
they,
you and I
can't.
Would most likely say, well, America's fundamentally good.
It
with
is.
Flaws. We've applied our fundamental principles imperfectly, but good with flaws. I don't believe the other side believes this. Adherents of critical race theory believe that America and everything on which she was founded, a free market system, freedom and liberty and justice for the individual, equality under the law, they believe that that is evil. They believe that the institutions in our nation are evil, and therefore our country in general is illegitimate. So ask, do you believe America is fundamentally good or evil, and why?
They can't answer.
If you ask these questions, this is how to dialogue with someone who is an adherent to critical race theory. This is how to really get down to the heart of the matter. What is critical race theory? Because right now, the left is scared. The left is on defense. The left is trying to camouflage what this evil Marxist ideology that they have put in public schools. They've infiltrated our public school system. They're now brainwashing our children. They're trying to hide what they're doing and pretend that what they're teaching isn't what they're teaching, which means they know that it's unpopular and people will reject it. Do not let them change from defense to playing offense. Do not let their rhetoric change anybody's mind. Keep moving forward. Ask these questions. Make them define what they're talking about. Catch them in their lies. The six questions you should ask about critical race theory. They're right there.
Thank you, Liz. And that's the crux of the biscuit right there. I mean, that's it. When you confuse liberals with facts, they just melt away. They don't know how to respond. They're either going to respond by calling you a racist. They're going to respond by, I don't know, punching you in the nose. They're going to respond with violence or something. They're going to respond in some way because they cannot handle facts. You're listening to American by Design with your host, Bing Fisher, on Conservative Nation Media. And we'll be shortly, I hope, as soon as my account goes through over on locals.com, we'll be over there too. Actually, I already got a show page. It's just that I can't really use it yet. But Liz Wheeler's over there and a bunch of other people, you know, a lot of conservatives are over there that you know. And that's where we're going to try a new medium, a new type of show, something that's going to be a little bit funny maybe, a little bit funnier than what we got now. But it should, hopefully I could do the video thing without the lag and so on that we find with BTR here. I mean, I don't know. It's just strange to me that I'm, having to keep hitting this button, to tell me that my show is scheduled when it's already on air. I mean, it says on air. I got 13, almost 14 minutes left on air. So I don't know what's up with that. But I think Robert is on the channel and, you know, he's looking into it and listening to the quality and that kind of thing and see how it's come out. It seems like stuff has changed. So I don't know how to describe it, but to get off of that subject, it's what these liberals that have come out that denounced Trump, announced that white people are the oppressors and black people are the oppressed, they're now sitting there going, don't know if that was a good idea, because there's black people that I know and that you've seen on YouTube and so on, they're saying, I didn't bring my kid up. I didn't raise my child to be looking at skin color. Because if you're a black person, and this is what the Democrats have said, you know, all along with the voter registration and that kind of thing, that they think basically that black people shouldn't need to have to get voter ID to go vote. So in essence, they're racist because they're saying that black people are too freaking stupid to go out and get a voter ID card when they probably already have a license or they have some kind of ID on them. I would be very, I'd be very let down if I heard that coming from a politician, that I was too stupid because of my skin color to get voter ID or to get any kind of ID in order to vote or to drive or to go to a convenience store and buy, you know, a six pack of beer or whatever. I'd be one pissed off son of a bitch if somebody, if I was of a different skin color, I guess, I don't know, and they told me that I was too stupid to vote, that they had to, that the government had to step in and make sure that we had equality in voting, that we had equity. See, there's two different terms there, equity and equality. Equality is the principle of this country. And I told you before, the Constitution and capitalism are tied at the hip. They always have been. They always will be. And when you try to destroy either one of them, then it all will fall down. The house of cards will fall down. And we can't let that happen. As patriots, as people that defend the Constitution, we can't let that happen. We have to just keep telling ourselves, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Father's Day. And like I said, if you have not called your father, if he's still alive, give him a call. Give him a call right now. If you haven't talked to your children, give them a call. Say, look, I love you. Because we need them probably more than they need us at the moment. But each person has to do what they can to defend the Constitution, defend our rights, to defend the freedoms that we hold there. Otherwise, we will not have a country. You already see inflation. You already see gas prices going up. Thank you, Mr. Biden. You already see people streaming across our borders, thousands a day, a day. You already see crime, you see fentanyl, you see deaths attributed directly to the border and Joe Biden's mishandling of the border in order to get power, to get more votes that he feels will be good for the Democratic Party, because they let them in. Like I said, Jesse Waters, very good analogy. Bees in the house? I'm going to go see the beekeeper. I'm not going to shut the door. I'm going to go see the beekeeper instead, when all they have to do is shut the border down. And Kamala Harris can do whatever the hell she wants to do. She's a joke. A complete freaking joke. She can't even go to the border. She lies about it. Said, well, I've been to the border. No, you haven't. You haven't been to the border. She's a joke. And so is Joe Biden. But I'm going to go ahead and close the show out right now, because I got a kid screaming in a bag and I don't really know what the heck that is all about. But we'll go ahead and shut down the show. And we're going to take you out with Brian Futch again. This is a great song. Go to brianfutch.com and download his song. Any of his songs. Very cool dude. Interviewed him here. And just a great patriot. So go ahead and check him out. Happy Father's Day for those that have fathers. In the meantime, God bless y'all. Take care. Stand guard. Defend the Constitution, because that's what matters.
across the ocean. There's no price for his country he wouldn't pay. Like so many others, he fought for the cause with great devotion. Just like his daddy, he led the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His stories have faded with his years, but his eyes say it loud and clear. I am America. This land, my land, America. I know one day after I'm gone, someone will carry this dream along. That's what makes this country so strong. My dad handed down the things he was taught, like loving your neighbor and trusting in God. I am America.
I'm Conservative Nation Media. Y'all take care. God bless y'all. Happy Father's Day. Good night.